now's a good time to get out. I warned you. I wasn't joking. Take your Bibles, go to John 15, starting around verse 12. I'm going to make it. It's going to be kind of a short message, I hope. John 15, 12. It's my favorite verse in the Bible. It's kind of neat that Joy said that was her favorite verse, what the one she quoted there or mentioned. And she mentioned some other things. Y'all talked about salvation. That's the key tonight to this morning's message. I really didn't have a message Friday and got busy doing some things Friday. It's usually my night that I really focus on my messages and my messages. That's so weird. Sermons, messages, words. But instead, I went to the Strawberry Festival. Wished I'd stayed home. Sorry. It was okay. Hot. Big crowd, kind of weird. Anyway, so then Saturday, I said, okay, I'll focus Saturday, Lord, I'll focus Saturday. Then I went riding in the mountains of Tellico. I got about an inch of dirt in my nostrils right now. Sorry about that. But I had a good time, didn't focus. I was praying, and I said, Lord, you can speak to me all the way up there. And he did. He spoke to me about some things, me personally. We went by the fields of the woods, and I was sitting there going, all right, Lord, this is it. Put in what you need. This is absolutely not the way you should operate if you're ever going to be a preacher or a pastor, okay? This is totally opposite of what I normally do. So I'm telling you, I'm just going to be real with you this morning. I don't know how else to be. So I got home last night, and I'm like, all right, Lord, me and you tonight. I fell asleep really quick. Matter of fact, my wife come in there and goes, are you asleep? And I argued with her. No, I'm not. I was. So I got up this morning, and God said, here it is. And then I said back to God, no, not that. And he said, yeah. I'd heard a couple things in my spirit the last couple of weeks that needed to be addressed because of the Spirit of God, not because of me. My part, I get into weird stuff, but it ain't me, it's God. So I'll give you a verse out of Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Do not go over there. We're going to John 15, 12. I wanted to add this to it. It says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword. That's Jesus. If you'll go back and read Matthew 10, if you ever get a chance, it's all red letter, and everything I'm going to preach today is red letter, okay? Let me give you a little background on where we're at in John 15. John 15, this is Jesus about to go to the cross. Jesus about to be crucified and be put in the grave for our sins. Is that okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you read John chapter 15, it's kind of the last words of Jesus to his apostles and disciples, his friends. If somebody was about to die, I would lean in and listen, wouldn't you? If you had somebody that you knew in the next day or two was going to die, and you want to know what they really think about you and how they consider you, would you not lean in and listen? You might not be able to understand everything they say. You might not be able to understand what they mean, but you would want to hear the last words they had for you. These are the words that Jesus has for his church right before he's about to exit this earth. I want to know what he has to say. I want to know what he has to say. Can y'all do me a favor? This is big on this morning because it's already been mentioned. A couple, three people mentioned it, and it's kind of neat. If you've been saved in 2022, would you stand up? No, I'm not trying to embarrass you, but would you stand up? If you're a new model, if you just rolled off the assembly line. These two guys, there's three. If you've been saved in 2022, stand up. Three guys on this side. That's the 2022 models, guys. Those just rolled off the showroom floor, off the assembly line of God, right? Always stay set up. I mean, it would get the full effect here. Not to embarrass you guys. If you've been saved in the last 5 years, would you stand up? Just in the last 5 years, you've been saved. If you been saved in the last 10 years? Stand up. If you've been saved in the last 15 years, stand up. Boy, look at these people standing here. This is what heaven's going to look like. If you've been saved, stand up. If you've been saved, stand up. Y'all scared me there for a minute. We're about to have a this whole meeting's about to get different. Look to your left and look to your right. If you have to, turn around, look, turn around, look. Pretty neat, huh? You may be seated. If you stood up, if it took you a half a second, if it took you an ounce of thought when I said, if you've been saved, stand up, and you sit there and go, I don't know. I don't know what you're waiting for. You're our honored guest here. If you thought just in a half second, I don't know, I beg you, don't wait too long before you turn your life over to Jesus. Till you repent. We talked about, some people talked about this morning. They said, you know, ask Jesus to come in your heart. That's great. That's wonderful. That's true. But how you do it, you've got to admit that you're a sinner, and you got to say, I believe in who you are. What that means is, I believe you are God, and I believe you died on a cross, because if you didn't, I would go to hell. But I got to thinking about this message when God put it on me this early this morning. I wished somebody would have told me some of the things that I'm going to tell you this morning about being saved. I went Thursday morning and preached to 30 guys, and about 80% of them were against it. And I knew it. And I'm being honest with you, I'd do better with people that are totally against me than I am for me. I can preach in prison. I can preach in recovery centers. I don't get scared. I don't get nervous. I get nervous on Sunday morning church. If you really want to know the truth, Sunday morning service, this makes me nervous. But I got to preaching, and about halfway through, the Spirit of God dropped in that room, and all the men leaned in all at one time. And I remember saying in the middle of the preaching, I went, oh, welcome aboard. Welcome to the meeting. They all smiled. But I was talking to the director there, and he told me something very interesting. He said, in the last few years, I've seen a combative spirit coming. There is anybody under 30 years old, they don't believe in Jesus Christ. They're not taught in the schools. They're not taught in their colleges. They're not taught anywhere. They're coming, and guess what? They are totally against the gospel of Jesus Christ. They'll even come to a Christian-based recovery because it's the least expensive one. But they don't want any part of Jesus. And one man last week left, and he said, do you know the only thing that's hindering me from surrendering to Jesus Christ? And he said, what is it? He said, if I walk out of this camp claiming that I know and love Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, then I'm going to be the most hated man in my home, in my city, in my town, in my friend group. I won't have one person in my life that I know who will like me. And I said, gosh, I wish that was told in the Southern Baptist churches. I wish that was told in our towns. I wish everybody who stood up who got saved in 2022 and then the 5 years after that, I wish somebody would have told you, it's not going to be easy. Because I want to tell you something. I was in East Tennessee when I got saved and born again. Matter of fact, I was in South Georgia. I was in North Georgia, Chatsworth, Georgia. I consider it Tennessee because it's just a little off of it. But guess what? I was going to church in East Tennessee. I got saved in Georgia. And guess what? Everybody I know, when they heard, August 28th of the war, I told them, I got saved. Most of the people I know, you know what they said? Good. Great. But they didn't know what had really happened. I didn't get a profession of faith. I got that when I was 13. God got a hold of me. And I hate to tell you this, I got a hold of Him. And I radically changed. No cussing, no drinking, no lying, no stealing, no manipulating. Man, I'm telling you right now, God wrecked my life. All my friends gone. Half my family thinks I'm nuts. My work environment totally changed. I would walk into work like, I don't know how to exist here. Who do I talk to? And what do I talk about? The only thing I knew is I was saved and things were changing. And I hate to tell you this, friend, if God saves you really and changes you really, you're going to lose a lot of people. But you're going to gain some people. You're going to gain one person that nobody ever, they don't talk about how good he really is. Because I don't know if a lot of people know how good he is. When you're laying on a hospital bed and nobody can get to you but Jesus, you'll be glad it's Jesus. When you're in a jail cell and you can't do nothing but look up and see nothing but Jesus, you'll be glad it's Jesus. If everybody hates you and leaves you alone, you'll be glad it's Jesus. Oh, I'm sorry. I just know Him. Amen? I just know Him. John 15:12. I'm going to preach a little bit if y'all don't mind. Is that all right? I'll ask for permission later. This is my commandment. John 15:12. I'm going to read a little bit. I'm going to preach. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You might want to underline that and highlight it. You're not a friend of Jesus if you don't do what He commands. Whew. I'm so glad you testified. All of them were good, but that one helped. Amen? Watch this right here. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servants knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. If you know God, you know what He's up to. You know what He's up to? Saving the whole world before He comes back. That's what He's up to. It's no mystery. It's not a hide-and-go-seek thing. It's not some deep, dark, ooh, I got this or I got that. He says, tell as many people as you can before I come back. I don't want to preach too much before I get to preach. You understand what I'm saying? You have not chosen me. Verse 16 is a monster. Yeah, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. If anybody in here has been born again, stop looking for the approval of everybody else. God approves of you. If He's called you and He's ordained you, you're going to have to come down to meet with anybody else. Golly, why don't y'all ever shout? My gosh, that's shouting stuff. Some of y'all don't know this, but you spent most of your time trying to get to the person to the left of your right to approve of you and like you. I don't really care if you like me, because God loves me. And if I get a hold of God and He loves me, then He's going to put the right people in my life. Praise God. You won't be nothing without us. Praise God, I'm nothing without Jesus and Jesus alone. Golly, I wish somebody'd walk a shout out right there. Some of you are trying to still get the approval of everybody else. Golly, bum, if nobody else loves you more than God loves you, you should shout a little bit. Man, I love it when, golly, bum, if He will, sometimes He will put everybody else out the room. Golly, bum, ain't you? Sometimes God puts everybody else out the room where you'll know it's just you and Him. God, sometimes I'm get mad. I'll be all alone sitting there going, God, I ain't got no friend. I ain't invited to this. I ain't brought to that. Da, da, da. And all of a sudden I'm sitting there and God goes, good, finally, it's me and you. Y'all ain't had no party like a Holy Ghost party. And the good thing about it, tomorrow you'll get up and you'll feel fine. Some of y'all get that later. Somebody, verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before you. Some of y'all need to underline that. Some of y'all got to being Christians, and you thought in your mind, oh, I've got to love everybody, and everybody's got to love me. If you tell the gospel truth to some people, they will hate your guts, and God said it's okay. Well, my son and them, they just don't believe like I believe, and I'm worried about what I'm going to say. Praise God. Walk right in that room. Tell them, ain't nobody left. God, I'm going to help somebody. Just stay right here. Hold on 1 second with me. Is there any mamas in here that love their sons? Well, let me tell you something. When my kids go, God, Daddy, you're being one of you preaching a message. You're being too spiritual, whatever. Listen, I rocked you when you needed rock. I helped you when you needed help. I checked your temperature when you needed checking temperature. I took you to the doctor when you were sick. I prayed over you when you needed praying. Praise God, ain't nobody in this world loves you more than your mama does. Or your daddy does. Amen? So stop worrying if you're going to hurt their feelings by telling them about God. Put in your resume and tell them, look, I was there when you needed a diaper change and you was throwing up at the same time. So there ain't nobody loves you like I love you. So I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Some of y'all have raised them past their learning. They've got to a place where they think they're better than everybody else. Just set them down and say, when they say, I don't like this and I don't like that and the world's going this way and the world's going that, just stand yourself up in the room and say, if you get saved, it'll fix itself. Whoo! Y'all are scared of the world. Man, what are they going to do? Praise God, you've got Jesus on your side. Some of y'all, you're preaching angry. This is the best I've felt in a while. These are things I commanded you, love one another. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Hello. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Underline it. I can't believe they all hate me. I can't believe they love you. If you got as much Jesus you let on in here, how in the world do you get along with them? How do you ride down the trails with them? How do you hike with them? How do you shop with them? How do you hang out with them? Because praise God, every once in a while, something should get in you and go, you know what? I know you're worried about what I bought. I know you're worried about where we're going. I know where you're thinking about how we're walking. But praise God, I'm worried about where you're spending eternity. Amen? Well, that's what should be bubbling up on the inside of you right now. I hear people all the time, Lord's going to come back any minute. But we're living at the right end. We're living right off the edge of eternity. Well, let's act like it. Well, let's act like it then. Praise God, stop doing what we always done. If we're right off the edge of eternity, you got neighbors, family, and friends that need you to show up. You're the only Christian in a bunch, and you're worried about them. You're worried about them getting mad at you. Golly bum, if y'all don't watch it, I'm going to lose it right here. And you'll have to find somebody else to preach. If you're sitting here and you think your biggest worry is about your sons and daughters and your friends getting mad at you because you share the gospel truth to them, wait until you got to watch them be pushed off into eternity and right in front of your face. What if somebody you got a burden for in your heart, and some of y'all got a burden for people, but you keep keeping it slide. What if they get to speak to you one more time before they go off into eternity? What if they get to say something like this? You told me about everything else, but you didn't tell me about this place. You didn't want to hurt my feelings. You didn't want to make me mad. We're really not worried about how they feel about us. We're just scared. We're scared of the rejection ourselves. It ain't about them. It ain't about them being hurt. It ain't about them, what they say to us. It's about us, really. When it comes right down to it, we don't want to be hated because you know what? We want everybody just to sit around with us and be happy. We're the only ones. I guarantee you, if everybody in your table was dying of some disease and you had a cure for it, and you went, no, I'm just going to keep it to myself. I don't want to put it on them like that. But if one of them said, hey, I'm dying right here. You got any cure for this? Yeah, I got a cure for it. It's in my pocket. I didn't want to wear you out about it. But that's a physical thing, not a spiritual. Let me tell you something. There's people that are spiritually more healthy than you are. And they're on their way to hell for eternity. And you're still worried about what they think about you. I don't even know how to preach this. 20, remember the word. Remember word that I said unto you, thy servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which had done, the other men had did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in the law. They hated me without a cause. Verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. Underline that word. Verse 27. He also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Can I give y'all some stuff? Here it is. Here's the message, the whole message. He will expose some things. Amen. That's all this is, John chapter 15. I preached too much in it. I should have waited till the end, but let me give you a laundry list. That way you'll go home with a laundry list, okay? John chapter 15, he will expose some things. What will he expose? And I'm gonna make some of you mad, because that redback hymnal aggravated the fire out of me this morning. Amen? And a couple of songs did too. I'm just going to be real with you when I heard them in the spirit. Don't be mad at me. I'm getting a little angst right now from some people over here, so I'll just look at you guys, because y'all look like you love me right now. But there's some people over there, redback hymnal. I'll fight you over that. Well, let's fight about it, brother. All right. Well, let me give you some things it'll expose. It'll expose God. When God is exposed to you, because he can't be exposed any other way, he had to send his only begotten Son. The expressed image of God is his Son, Jesus. And when Jesus showed up, he started doing the miracles that only God could do. He was a miraculous, miracle-working, healing God who was casting out devils, healing the blind, making the lame walk. But then he was saving wretched sinners, and he was setting them free, and he was saying, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. And everybody was freaking out, but they couldn't freak out too much, because Jesus was doing the works of God. And when God was exposed, they went, golly, pum, that's got to be God. And they were like, he's right. I am. I'm one part of God. I'm one part of the Godhead. Amen. So he exposed God. Then he exposed Jesus. And when you expose Jesus to somebody, he changes your life. When you come to me and you start saying, this is wrong and that's wrong, and I can't figure out my marriage, can't figure out my kids, can't figure out my job, this is going on, that's going on, I always want to say this: have you met Jesus yet? Because I'm going to be honest with you, if Jesus walks in your house and he becomes the Savior of your life, he will cast some things out and he'll bring some things in, but nothing's going to stay the same. If things have stayed the same since you met Jesus, you met him, you didn't take him home with you. He'll expose himself to you. When Jesus exposes himself to you, when he shows up in your life, praise God, some of you got this Jesus that I don't know about. Y'all got this person who rides along with you in your sinful life and lets you do anything you want to do, and he don't say nothing about it. I don't know who that Jesus is. I didn't get him. You know who I got? I got Jesus that says, that's wrong, and if you don't stop doing it, you ain't going to hell, but you won't hear from me. You won't be able to go to a service and be blessed. You won't go in there and sing a song, preach a message, do anything if you want to do it with me. Some of y'all hate church. You know why you hate church? You don't like Jesus. You know what? I'm just being honest with you. This whole thing in here is about him. So I get aggravated with me. Some people go, well, y'all don't sing this kind of music. We don't sing that kind of music, because we're singing to Jesus, not you. We'll sing anything God puts on our table. I don't care if it's made in 1901 or 2022. If God says sing it, we're going to sing it. I don't like the way you preach. I don't like this. Hey, praise God, you know what I do? I wait for the Holy Spirit to slide one under my desk and hand it to me and say, hey, preach that. I'm sorry, that's all I got. I don't have an education. I don't have a degree. I don't know anybody. All of one day, I met Jesus one day. And guess what? He said, here you go. Share it. That's how we do it. I don't know how any other way to do it. When you get exposed to Jesus, he changed your life. He will not let you get away with it. He'll get in your car and ride with you to work and make you repent. He'll let you get mad at somebody, say the wrong thing. You'll get back to talking to him, and he'll get on the headphone. You'll be like, my brother, he did this. My wife did this. My mom did this. My dad done that. They did this at the church. And he'll say, hey, how about you? Some of y'all are thinking right now, I'm not joining that church. Praise God. Praise God. I'm glad. You know what? Sometimes you got to act a fool. Sometimes let somebody know where they need to be and where they don't need to be. I love this right here. Jesus, he exposed the Holy Ghost. That's what I was talking about when I got kind of aggravated with the red-backed hymnal. I'm not going to reject it. And I was aggravated by another song in there too. I love, the Holy Spirit is amazing. The Holy Spirit is the only thing on board in your life that's been where you're going. Yesterday we rode over into Ocoee, Tennessee. That's my hometown. Amen. We rode over on 64 Highway. We come over one little hill and I seen it. I seen them mountains. I seen Sugarloaf. And right between Sugarloaf and that other Benton Mountain, there lays a lake, amen, called Parkville. And you know what? I looked over at my wife and I went, home. And she said, yeah. She goes, I know the same feeling when I drive into Chatsworth and see Fort Mountain. I go home. Amen. You can't explain. You can't be explained to. If you're raised there, you just know. Amen. Well, guess what? There's a Holy Spirit on the inside right here. It's been home. Some of y'all know it better this way, Beulah Land. You don't even know what Beulah Land is because Beulah Land's only been seen by the Holy Spirit that resides in you now. He can't wait to go home. I want to go to heaven, but I don't know why. Because there's one part of you that says, hey, you wait till we get home. You're going to see something. Amen? But that's not where I got aggravated with. Because guess what? When the Holy Spirit comes on board, he'll make you, golly bum, don't be mad at it. Don't get frustrated with me. I'm just going to teach you the truth right here. The Holy Spirit, when it gets inside of you and on you, one thing it does absolutely is it makes you a witness. It will not just bring comfort to you, but it will bring comfort to you that you can share the gospel truth and you're going to be all right. I love the Holy Ghost goosebumps. I love running and shouting. I love praising God. But you know what I like better than that? When the Holy Spirit gets in on the inside of me and I'm driving down the road and he sees somebody and he goes, pull over. Pull over. That person needs to hear from me. Pull over and be a witness. You know what my first response is? My flesh. You know what my flesh says? No, 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 no. You're gonna get us in trouble. And the Holy Spirit says, I love trouble. Golly, have y'all ever read the Bible? Have y'all ever read it? Every time the apostles and disciples and people who loved Jesus got into trouble, guess who showed up? God and the Holy Spirit, every one of them showed up and said, I'm here, don't worry. Y'all, I'm thinking about old Paul and Silas got put into prison for sharing the gospel and casting demons out of people. They put them in the bottom of the prison, and about midnight, they said they started singing praises. How in the world do you sing praises when you're in prison for the wrong reason and you've been beat unrecognizable? Their backs were torn in threads. I hope some of y'all don't have to stand behind Paul in the line to going into heaven. That man got beat three times, that was recorded, and he's bow-legged, and he's kind of bent over because he got beat 33 times, 39 lashes, save one. His back was so torn to shreds that he couldn't heal. If you don't heal a healing like that right, you'll be caught right. You'll be bent over and wounded your whole life. And some of y'all have complained about everything. And, oh, God, I can't believe this. I don't want to do that. And praise God. Why don't you say, man, get a burden for the gospel of Jesus Christ and get in trouble for a reason. They were down here in that prison about midnight. I'm going to preach everything I know. I had a plan. I knew we were short on time. And I said it right there from the pulpit. I'm going to preach a short message. I don't even know what that is. All of a sudden, they got down there in that prison in about the midnight hour. And they were, Paul and Silas was going down there and said, man, and you could hear the prisoners moaning and complaining. And the guard every once in a while come out there and y'all need to shut up. And old Paul and Silas realized, we got to sit down here on purpose. You don't get sent nowhere as a Christian unless it's on purpose. He said, well, you know what? We didn't do anything wrong to get down here in prison. God must have got us down here on purpose. Hey, somebody down here needs Jesus. Paul says, hey, do you know that one old hymn? Yeah, do you know that one? How do I know that one? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yeah, I know that one. All of a sudden they began to sing, and all of a sudden the Bible says something. It says the prison began to shake, the foundation. I only believe that God, it says in the Bible that the earth is God's footstool. Maybe God just had his foot set on the thing. Jesus, Jesus loves me. This song, that's a good tune. just tapping his foot on earth and started shaking. And you know what it said? It shook the foundation and the chains fell off. Some of y'all still got your chains on because guess what? You've never let the foundation be shook. Yes. Yes. Glory. Amen. Welcome aboard. We've been waiting on you. The foundation shook. The prison doors opened. None of the prisoners left. You don't think God changes people you don't think can be changed? You know what? You're sitting next to people this morning that absolutely were in prison to one thing or another. And the prison chains fell off and the doors went open and we could go free. We just didn't want to go nowhere. We just love Jesus. We want to see what happens next. And all of a sudden, the guard broke in and realized, oh no, they're all gone, and broke loose. And he took his sword out and was going to kill himself. The whole reason God came. Sometimes the people you think's got it most under control, hey, some of you in here, you put it on good. When I asked everybody's been saved to stand up, everybody started getting up, so you said, oh, I better get up too. That guard said, man, I'm in charge down here. They're all gone. I'm going to kill myself. I love what Paul says. Amen? He ain't like us. Because if it'd been us, we'd be like, go ahead, buddy. I remember about four of them shut-ups in the middle of the night. Do thyself no harm. We ain't going nowhere, us or them. You know what the guard said? You come to my house. Will you come to my house? Will you come to my house? He took him down to his house. You know what he did? Him and his whole household got saved. You know what it says he did? He started washing the lashes off Paul and Silas's back. I guarantee you, when he went to work that morning, the last thing on his mind was, I'm going to be washing the backs of the men that I probably put the lashes on. But when Jesus, but when Jesus saves you, the things you said I'd never do, he's sitting there washing her. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. You could have left me down here in this prison all these years. But you brought them by. The least I can do is wash their backs. The least I can do is glorify you right where I'm at. God, I don't know why you came and got me and rescued me, but you did. I know you came for the worst of the worst in this prison, but you came for me too. Amen. Listen to me. I want to ask you something. Since you've been saved, what has God made you do that you normally wouldn't do? Where have you gone that you normally wouldn't go? And what have you said that you normally wouldn't say? Because I wish somebody would have told me, Kevin, when you got saved, it's great. And the people that go to church and love Jesus, they will. They'll be proud for you. But it's going to be hard. Because the whole world's going to hate you until they repent and become the Lord, become saved. I want to ask you this morning, are you being hated because you love Jesus? If you are, ask God for strength to keep standing. If not this morning, ask God for the boldness to stand up in a lost and dying world and be a witness for Jesus. Do like Joy said, God, I know I'm going to heaven, But I want to be closer to you, know you in a personal relationship, and I want to be obedient to you. I get sick and tired. I fall short. I'm not perfect, but I want to be more mature than I was last year. I want to win more people to the Lord this year than I did last year. Let's all stand as they come get a song. If God's been speaking to your heart this whole morning, come. Just step out. You don't need one verse or one song. Come. If God's been just pricking that heart, come, come, come. Come on. We do this too many times in this church. We wait and let everybody settle. Come and pray. Come and pray. Come and pray for lost people. Come and pray for people in your family to be bold towards them in Christ Jesus. Pray for the boldness to stand for the gospel in Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things that you need to do this morning. Come and do it. If you've not been saved, come.
All right, sing it with me.